The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor to the left and to the right. Hallelujah. So just coming off anniversary week, and we are grateful to God for 14 years again as we are getting into the fasting week. So this morning, we are looking at the third part of our teaching on understanding the covenant. And we are understanding covenants and how it relates with our work with God, our existence on earth, and all the works. And if you understand these things, your lives cannot remain the same. It cannot, because you will not just be existing. You'll be living, you'll be operating, you'll be taking authority, you'll be having dominion. Hallelujah. And so the question to you this morning is that, have you ever made a vow to God? Think about it. Don't raise your hand. No. Don't say, Pastor, I have, Pastor. No. In your heart, answer that question. Have you ever made a vow to God? Have you ever made a vow to God? How did it go? Or how is it going? You know? And the text for this morning is pretty much where we left off last week, which is Ecclesiastes 5. Oh, not last week. Where we left off the week before the anniversary. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 to 6. I read, when you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that that was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? Pretty powerful scripture. Tucked away in almost the middle of the Bible, sets the pace and the foundation for our understanding a covenant walk with God. And when we see the seriousness of this scripture, many times we want to say, oh, wow, I don't want to vow. You know, I don't want to enter any vow. This thing is serious stuff. Or, I don't want to do any covenant with God. Ah, God is serious about covenant. Exactly. The point exactly. What will separate you from the world largely is your covenant work with your Father. What will separate you is your covenant work. And so, Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is this. To have a significant walk with God, any walk with God, you must establish or enter into the pre-established covenant and establish fresh covenants based on the uniqueness of your walk with God. And it's so powerful. You see, in scriptures, you need to understand what I call the ifs and the whens of Scripture. They are the ifs and the whens of Scriptures. The ifs of Scriptures are, you know, conditional. If this, then that. A conditional statement. I mean, this is the day of, the era of AI. And many people are programming, or at least understand the concept in programming, in coding. An if statement is a conditional statement. It doesn't have to apply. If the conditions are not met, then it doesn't hold. But once the conditions are met, boom, the block of code is run. Now, the application to us is that the Word of God is like a programming manual, really. It's filled with if, and in coding also there's when, there are when statements, when. So, let's stay with the ifs. The ifs and the whens of Scripture. So, if a statement is an if statement, is that tautology? If a statement is an if statement. if it is an if statement, if it's one of the ifs of the Bible, then you should pay attention to the conditions. So, for instance, if you are hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and you diligently observe to do, then the Lord your God. So if then the Lord your God will set you on high above the nations of the earth. So you see, that's a conditional statement. If you hearken, then this will happen. A lot of the promises of God are if statement. If they are conditional. So the reason many people struggle is that they take the Word of God, the promises of God. You know, in NCR, one of the things that was explained in that book and in the classes is to understand the difference between the Word of God generally, the promises of God, the decrees of God. Many times if we take a promise as a decree, we will not pay attention to the conditions of the promise. And then we will expect the result of the promise. And if we do not see the result, we are confused. The Word of God says that if you do not forgive your neighbor, your heavenly Father also will not forgive. So if you fulfill that condition, they are wondering how your prayers are not going anywhere because you are not forgiving. It's a conditional statement. And we can go on and on. That's not what it's about, actually. But I just need us to understand that there are the ifs of Scriptures and there are the whens of Scriptures. The whens of Scriptures are those that when this happens. So if you want to be in a certain sphere spiritually, when this happens means that you don't have a choice. If you are to operate on that level, if you are to operate at a certain level, you will see the Scriptures are filled with when this. So, for instance, to understand God as the fourth man in the fiery furnace, to understand that dimension of God, it is a function of when you go through the fire. So it's not if you are going to go through the fire, it's when. It's a function of time. When, if you want to operate at that level where the revealed Son of God in your life is undeniable. It is when you go through the fire, then it will not burn you. So how can you say the fire has not burnt you if you've not gone through the fire? When you go through the waters, the Bible says in Isaiah, the waters will not overwhelm you. So you are going through the waters right now of life, and you're wondering, oh, am I going to run? Why wouldn't you? Because of the greatness that God has for you, the water will not overwhelm you. So the winds are, if you want to grow, it's a function of time. And we see a wind of scripture right here in Ecclesiastes 5. It says, when you make a vow to God. Everyone say, when? You can't sustain a walk with God without getting to a point where you have to enter into a covenant, sometimes initiated by you with a vow. So, when you make a vow to God. So to my friends that are saying, oh, I don't want to make a vow. I don't want to, you know, this is too serious. It's okay. It's better than making and not breaking. But what is better than making and not breaking, and still better than not making at all, is making one and keeping it. It takes you to a level with God. That is what gives your voice significance in heaven, because you are a covenant keeper. So that's why one person will say, Father, in the name of Jesus, boom! Another person will say, Father, in the name of Jesus, the angels are picking their teeth and say, who is talking? The difference is, those that walk with God by covenant, by making covenant. When you make a vow. So this concept that you're going to learn this morning and be reestablished this morning is so important. It's so powerful. It is inevitable. Completely inevitable. When you make a vow. So when you make a vow. So I need to know what is the dynamics of when I make a vow. When you make a vow, do not delay in paying it. Woof. For God has no pleasure in fools. So people that make vows, now it's not even necessarily completely not paying. People that make vows and delay. So, I want to buy that furniture. When I buy that furniture, then I will fulfill my vow. God says, you're a fool. I don't have time for you. That's what we see here in scriptures. He says, don't delay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. So, the concept of not paying is equated, as we are going to see, to delaying. So what vows have you made before God? What vows have you made? What covenant have you made? What covenant have you made on your behalf? Remember, we started in part one, we took our time to unpack vows, oaths, agreements, contracts, covenants, and all the works. When you make a vow, if heaven does not respond, it's a vow. You are still expected to pay it. When you make a vow and heaven responds, it becomes a covenant. So that covenant was initiated by you and heaven responded. A classic example was the story of Anna. You know, we keep going back to that story. It's a classic story in vowing and breaking barriers with vows and stuff, you know. So Anna said to God, If you give me a son, I will give him back to you. Heaven responded to the fact that as soon as everyone responded and Hannah's vow clicked, a covenant was established. So when God gave Hannah Samuel, Samuel was born into a covenant. He was born into a covenant, initiated by the mother, acknowledged and received by heaven. So Samuel, like we've said, it would be wise for Samuel to abide in that temple. Samuel cannot say, my friends are going to play soccer. Let me go and play soccer. I don't want all these temple duties. You know, I'm a young man. Let me enjoy my life. Samuel will be playing with the covenant of his life. Your friends didn't have covenant over them, but you do. So you cannot behave like they are behaving. Same thing. That is why heaven will move on your behalf and we don't move on other people's behalf like it would on you. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. So imagine Hannah saying, oh, this child has come of the age of winning. It's not really dependent on me. He can go potty by himself. He can, you know, wear his own clothes. It won't be a burden on the high priest. You know, he can even run errands in the temple. Let me enjoy him small. You know, when you have a baby and, you know, you go through a lot, you know, taking care of your baby, waking up at night, you know, dealing with poop, they are peeing on your face. I'm sure Samuel has peed on Hannah's face, you know, when she was trying to change his diaper. You know, that's the thing. Anyone that has a son, mostly the ladies, any mother that has a son and they've not peed on your face, you have not been initiated. It's part of the initiation, you know. It will fire you one, you know. Anyhow, so now this boy is able to go to potty himself. That's when you are beginning to enjoy the boy. Hannah could have held back. Hannah could have said, I waited so long, God will understand. And that's what is crippling a lot of people. That phrase. Oh, God knows that I've suffered. Let me go to this party of Iafilomina with this boy. Let them know that I have a son too. Anna will have delayed and will have caused problems for herself and Samuel. What did Anna do? Anna took Samuel to the temple and said, Lord, this is my covenant. This is my part of my... Here is the boy. Ah, so powerful. Of course, you know what happened next. Anna just began to burn children, like, you know, until she was tired, you know. And Samuel became a great, great, great man of God. And many of us, we've entered into covenants that we are oblivious of. I said to you, if you marry a strong man, there are covenants that are existing before you came into that house. It behooves you to understand it, put your head down, so that you can operate that covenant. If you married an Obunga woman, there are covenants that she's operating before you came in. It is better you stop and you evaluate what is on ground. Because this is so powerful, it's not a respecter of persons. It's not a respecter of persons. So, from these scriptures, this passage of scriptures that we read, three things that are strong and will be done. But if you understand them, if you get it, your life will never remain the same. They are huge. Huge. The first thing that stood out to us is this. Is the seriousness of vows and covenants. The seriousness of vows and covenants. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4 says, when you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Honestly, 1996, when I first really read this passage of scripture, that was, of course, years ago. 1996 is almost 20 years, almost 30 years, you know, ago. I was like, why are you so serious? God, why so serious now? This thing should not be this hard now. Should be I just made the vow. Cool down, I will do it now. You know? That was my thoughts back then. It says, when you make a vow of covenant, do not delay fulfilling the has no pleasure in first. Fool's care. I just delayed you. And God takes it so seriously because of how serious it is. A covenant is a pathway to significance in the realm of the spirit. It's a pathway to significance. Hannah entered into that pathway of significance to become mother of children, significant children, not just quiet children, significant children. To enter into that pathway, you come in with covenant. There are certain pathways you cannot enter into in the spirit realm without covenant. So that is why it is taken seriously when you make a vow, when you make a covenant, when the covenant is in existence. God takes it seriously. If you open this door for this business, I will do this. God opens the door. Instead of you to do what you said you would do, you are telling stories. They said this one is not even serious. The thing we have planned, you see, people that enter that doorway, the things they enter into, this is chicken change that you are struggling with. Paid. Numbers 32 says, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath, he must, everyone say must, he must not break his word. He must do everything he has promised. So, Pastor, I didn't know when I made the vow that this thing is this serious, this covenant, pay it. Pastor, I made it in ignorance. Let me beg God. God, you understand. Listen. The only way out of a covenant or a vow that is made to God is to pay it. There is no other way. Some people have said, I will beg God. God, understand. You will put yourself in a place of complete insignificance to heaven. That's what's going to happen. So your words will carry no weight. So the only way, Pastor, you're saying the only way out is to pay it?
Yes.
The process of paying it does something in you. It changes, it cleanses your soul of foolishness. It does. When a man makes a vow, he must pay it. He must pay it. You know, that is why that foolish, king that made a vow that the first, if God gives him victory, the first thing that comes out of his house, he's going to sacrifice to God. That's a foolish king because, number one, it means that whatever comes out of his house is a living being. I'm sure he's not expecting Bingo to come out of his house, come and greet him, even if he had dogs. You know, some people have said he was probably expecting his wife to come out first. So he can say, you see, darling, I have to sacrifice you because it's a vow. But it was his daughter that came out first. Ah! But what did he do? Fortunately, a promise to God. It's not just a word. It's a bond. Everybody say bond. It's a bond, a spiritual covenant with God, with the Almighty. Deuteronomy 23:21 says that if you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it. You see, that delay is coming up again. Do not be slow to pay it. For the Lord your God will certainly demand it. Everybody say certainly. He will certainly. You know, sometimes you make some vows, you think God has forgotten. No. He will certainly demand it. And there are certain other vows that have been made that people have forgotten. But heaven never forgets. And those things are standing against them and they've forgotten. They've gone. And, you know, I mean, we've had cases of when we are praying for an individual. We are praying. And as if nothing is going on. For something to shift, God reminds the person or shows us that, listen, this is there. Go and attend to it. And the person says, Pastor, it was such a long time ago. I've forgotten. You forgot. Heaven did not forget. And not just didn't heaven forget, the negative supernatural also did not forget, because those are the things they use in accusing you before God. Hallelujah. So the value of a vow is not just the words you speak. The value of a vow is in the faithfulness with which you keep them. The value of a vow is in the faithfulness with which you keep them. When you make a vow to God, it's, oh, I've made a vow. Oh, you think it's significant. You are significant. No, it is in the faithfulness that is the value of the vow. So the second thing that jumps out at us in this passage of scripture is the danger of delay. Of course, so we are seeing that, so it's a segue, it's a good segue into this. It's the danger of delay. Ecclesiastes 5:4-5. It says, do not delay in fulfilling it. Better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. You made a vow. You're saying, oh, I'm going to fulfill that vow. So, no. You vowed. And that is what, like I've said severally in this teaching, separates you. Because it's an uncommon path. Most people are not faithful. So you come into the league of the faithful few. Proverbs 20:25, the word of God says that it is a trap to dedicate something rashly and only later to consider one's vows, to dedicate something rashly to God. You say, oh, God, this is yours, da-da-da-da-da. Then I say, God, you know, I really don't mean, you know, that thing that I said. It's a trap. It means that the words you've spoken has entrapped you already. The only way out is to fulfill it. The way out is not to say, Lord, you're sorry. There's no sorry with covenants and vows. There's just no sorry. You just fulfill them. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. That's what we've seen here, literally, that up until now, that delayed obedience is disobedience. God calls us to act promptly and not to procrastinate. Delayed obedience is disobedience. If you are waiting for the best condition, God, you know, let me sort this out first. Then I sort this out first. Then I sort that out first. Nah. you have to obey. Boom! Instantly. Instanta. You have to obey God instantly. Instantly, as soon as you are able to. Matthew 5:37 says, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond that, this comes from the evil one. So even in your dealings with people, God expects you to know the value of your words. So even while you're dealing with people, your word is your bond. So you see, we've transitioned a little bit from the vertical to the horizontal. Even in the horizontal, your word is your bond. God says, let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Anything outside of that, trouble. Psalm 66, 13 to 14. Psalm 66, 13 to 14 says, I will come to your temple with burnt offerings, back to the vertical, and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised, and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. When we are in trouble, God, if you bring me out of this trouble, you enjoy your girl. You will know your girl will sweep the church of the floor of the church. Oh, I will be the first to come and do this. God brings you out of the trouble. Yeah, God, you can't expect a big girl like me to be sweeping floor now. We'll pay the cleaning agents. So we'll pay the cleaning agents. So, I mean, of course, multiple times people have said to me, Pastor, you know, I want to pay for the people that clean church, you know. I want to pay for the people that take care of the bathrooms, you know. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And sometimes I say, so what was your covenant with God? What did you tell God? I told God that I would take care of the cleaning of the church. I said, what did you tell God? I told God that I will sweep. You told God that you will sweep. You know, oral boyshe or oral rudie. You now want to be sending your tail to come and sweep. No, you will sweep. That's your covenant. You will come and sweep. Even you think about it, I mean, which one is even better, as a more professional for the church? If you want to pay for a professional cleaning service, that is better for the church, right? Because they will do the job professionally, I mean, and stuff. But that's not the key thing here. The key thing here is, what did you say to God? You said, when you bring your girl out of this trouble, I'll be sweeping church. So, my dear, here's the broom. You know, that is how it works. So, Pastor, it's not too harsh. I said I will sweep the church, but if I get somebody to sweep it, it's the same. It's just like saying, when God, you promote me, I will dance before you. God promoted you. You now pay dancers. To come and do the dance before God. As if God is just wants entertainment. It is covenant. You said you will dance before him. Dance before him. You said you will roll before him. Roll before him. You said you will jump before him. Jump before him. You said you will serve him. Serve him. You said you will fulfill a particular vow or promise or gifting. Do what you have said. That is how it works. It says, vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. This is a very great man. Because when we are in trouble, we promise many things. But when God solves that problem, you see, everything now looks easy for us. We now look at it, you know, the pressure we are feeling, we are not feeling anymore. So the capacity to come back and to say to God, here is my majemu, here is my covenant, makes way for you supernaturally. So a postponed promise is a broken promise in the eyes of heaven. That's what we're saying. A postponed promise is a broken promise in the eyes of heaven. So number three is the accountability of our words. The accountability of our words. Verse 6 says, do not let your mouth lead you to sin, and do not protest. My vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hand? Your accountability. And the more accountable you are to God, like I've said consistently in this teaching, the more valuable your words are in the spirit realm, the more powerful you are as an individual. So, and the converse is also the case. This is why should God be angry at you and destroy the works of your hand? God will not be angry at you in the name of Jesus, I pray. And God will not destroy the works of your hands in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. Some people, they've made promises to God so much that it means nothing to heaven. It doesn't even mean anything. So they're now making promises. Heaven is just ignoring them. Let me give you an example. And I pray that will not be your story. I mean, it was really sad. So a lady came to my office and she was really crying. She was a mess. I'm like, my sister, what's going on? And she's like, oh, I made a covenant with God. I said to God, if I do A, B, C, do X, Y, Z. And X, Y, Z was very, very terrible thing that she says that God should do to her if she breaks the covenant. I said, my sister, this is very serious. She said, yes. I didn't know I was going to break it. I'm like, what do you mean you didn't know you were going to break it? You shouldn't have broken it because you made a vow, a covenant to God. But that's not the issue. So she was like, what do we do now, Pastor? I don't want X, Y, Z to happen to me because X, Y, Z was serious. I was like, did they put a gun on your head when you made this thing? She said, no. She made it because out of passion for God. So I said, okay, fine. The first thing we can do is to pray and ask the Lord to guide us. I don't see a way out without doing it, but you've broken it. So let's just ask for God's guidance. And I prayed. And we went to God and we prayed. And what God said shocked me. God said to me, ignore her. And I'm like, okay. It was like that vow she made that he did not even reckon it. He ignored it. I'm like, yeah. So when she was making the vow, everyone knew that this one. So God did not even record it as a vow. It did not become a covenant with heaven. Remember, when Hannah made the vow, heaven responded, it became a covenant. Da, 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 da. So he said that in this matter, in this particular case, this vow was not recorded. So I was like, wow, that was good news, but that was also bad news. So I said to her, you can go. But I encouraged her. I said, everything is fine. Nothing's going to happen to you. And of course, nothing happened to her today. She's married. I think she has 2 children. Last time I saw her in church, she was carrying 2 children. So the point is, when she made that vow, because of her history, heaven is like, this girl has come again. Oh, Mako Alilo, be going with your trouble, you know. May heaven never disregard your vows in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I mean, I've never heard that before. I mean, I've never read any book. I can't remember seeing it in scriptures. But God said to me, not reading. This vow is not reading. So she was free of it even before she made it. But if you look at it another way, is that not love? Is that not God loving her? Showing that we know your weaknesses. This thing, we do it. So don't come here and be telling us stories. That is love. You know? So even though it kept her for a bit, but when she eventually did it, God was not shocked. And the repercussions did not come on her. Oh, what a good, good father, you'd say. Good, good father. But on the other hand, she, from an authority standpoint, would be a common weak Christian, if you will. She will not be able to take territories. She will not be able to, when she comes into battle, she will not be able to bulldoze her way out because of pure authority and power based on what she has accrued in heaven. So you see, the question is, do you want to remain a baby or do you want to grow? It's your choice. Matthew 12:36. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. So this is not an authorization to be speaking empty words. Every empty words, because words are like bullets. Once you fire them, they cannot be taken back. Once a gun is loaded, right, and you take aim and you fire the shot, that's it. You cannot fire a shot and say, I'm sorry, bullet, come back. It is gone. And bullet does not differentiate family from foe. It doesn't. It doesn't. Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but whoever restrains his lips is wise. I mean, we had a whole, I think, which devotional was this? Was this Monday's devotion? No. The previous Monday's one. You know, you may want to go and watch the Monday morning devotional, devotion on Instagram. This was really unpacked, you know. When words are many, the one with Pastor Nina, yeah. When words are many, sin is not absent. But whoever refrains his lips is wise. Stop talking too much. Your words should mean something. If you talk too much, your words eventually begin to mean so little. So stop talking too much. Talk as required. In fact, you know, back in the day, there are certain ladies in school that they escaped the bad boys. They escaped the bad boys. And these ladies, they have home training. I don't know, maybe they have good fathers or what have you. They knew that when boys are telling you things, there's lie inside it. But unfortunately, the ladies that become prey are those that get excited when they tell them good, sweet things. Say, look at you, you're smashing. Damn. You know, I mean, you begin to blush. And these girls, it doesn't catch them. In fact, at the end of the day, they eventually became our friends. In fact, we became very close friends. We're just friendship level. Because you can't catch them. Why? And one of them, I remember her name, of course, now, but obviously I can't say it. So she would say to me that words, when boys begin to say that, that for her, she knows that, you know. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's how you catch us, eh? The point is, words are powerful. Words seduces. Words are the things that are used to derail. Let your own words matter. That's what God is saying to you. Let your words matter. So when we know God, our vows become more than promises. When we know God, our vows become acts of worship. And that is so powerful. When we know God, our vows become more than promises. They become acts of worship. Acts of worship. Hallelujah. So I want to pray with you, or we want to pray with you. If you're like, I want my life, my words to become an offering before God, an act of worship before the King. Wherever you are, maybe online, maybe in church, you may be driving. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. You may be driving, but if you're in church, the app is going to come up. We want to pray with you.
You heard the call. You're saying today, I want my words to begin to matter before God. I want to yield my heart to Him so that my words can matter. And we will pray with you. This is an opportunity for you to not come into His presence and live the same way you have come. From this day forth, you want your words to begin to matter before God. Your first step is to surrender your heart to Him, to come into a relationship with Him. Or you were once in that relationship, or something happened and you left. Jesus is welcoming you back home. Your life will not be the same again. Is there anybody else saying, I need you in my hand, my life, Lord? I need you in my life. I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray with me. This Father, we say thank you. We'll pray with you now. Thank you for your children that are surrendering their hearts to you, Lord. Father, because these ones have taken this bold step, you are the covenant-keeping God. In the name of Jesus, let their words begin to matter in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, as they call upon your name, you will hear them as you have promised and you will answer them. Father, you will come in and you will transform these lives, that their stories, the testimony of their lives will bring you praise. Honor and glory we give unto your wonderful and mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Now we're going to pray with a certain category of people. For you, you made a vow. You made a promise and you broke it. Maybe to God, maybe to man, you know, like we heard in the teaching, the vertical one or the horizontal one. We want to pray with you this morning, all of us as a church. If you're that one and you made a vow, you know you made a covenant and you broke it, you did not follow through, I want you to begin to cry out to God yourself. The rest of us, let's just begin to pray for our brothers and our sisters. An opportunity has been given to you. God has given you, this is a day of mercy. Just begin to cry out to Him and ask Him for mercy. Psalm 4 verse 1 says, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have freed me when I was hemmed in and relieved me when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear and respond to my prayer. That prayer you pray right now, God will respond to it. So begin to cry out to Him and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. The rest of us, let's just begin to pray and intercede and stand in the gap of our brothers and sisters. You entered into a vow. Even if it's a vow that concerns a people, that concerns the church, and you broke it, have mercy, Lord. Mahatakosi andere bosha handeli azadai. Ah, ragadoli asiata hande het kobozi atahada hada. Oh, Mahandelia Brokozi, the hand of Hazza, Father, have mercy, Lord. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy. in the name of Jesus, because we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We bring these ones, our Father. Thank you, faithful Father. Honor and glory give unto you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Thank you, Father. Yahweh, Yahweh, we lift you high.
Yahweh, Yahweh, you are Adonai. Yahweh, Yahweh, we lift you high. Yahweh, Yahweh.
God is the covenant keeping God. And like we learned in the teaching, it is foolishness not to fulfill our vows unto Him. So, whatever covenant you've entered into with God that you have delayed, you've probably said, I will do thus, thus, thus. And you still want to do it, but you have delayed. You're going to be praying to God for speed to be able to deliver. We're going to be praying to the Lord for strength to be able to follow through on the covenants that we know that as a believer you have, the covenant of life, the covenant of peace. You're asking God for strength. We're praying for grace to manifest this covenant in our life in the name of Jesus. So this is a prayer for every one of us. So you're going to cry out to the Lord from the very bottom of your heart and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, grant me speed, grant me strength, endue me with grace. In the name of Jesus, Mahadez Yahada Haile. Redo kahasaka tunahada hade ele hatalu brende gadali asetiala. Oh, pray for speed. Pray for speed to be able to deliver. Mande kosele kana mandere doshi atatala hae. Ragadeli, as I said, it's foolishness to delay. Meto siamba bubakara doshi legali asiantelia. Rekoma akabu bandi aseli atatalia babarada. Mende geziana andele kosia katala dele mahana dalia. Pray for strength to be able to keep your tongue from speaking contrary to the word of the Lord. For He said that you will decree a thing and it shall be established, and then light shall shine on your ways. You know that you have been using your tongue wrong. That you are easy to poke. Ask the Lord for strength. For grace. Everywhere you've spoken foolishly, oh Father, oh let your grace, my Father, let your mercy prevail over judgment. There is mercy in the Lord. There is mercy in the Lord. The scripture said that we cried out. He's shown you mercy before. He'll show you again. Thank you, Father. And so it is and shall be. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Now it was said about Samuel, because Samuel was in covenant, none of the words he spoke fall to the ground. The words you will speak will not fall to the ground. So you're going to say, Father, let my words not fall to the ground. In the mighty name of Jesus, begin to speak to the Lord. Ah, Mahadiaga Ziatala, because you will be faithful to keep your vows, because you are faithful to walk in the covenant of light and of truth. The words you speak will not fall to the ground. Everything you say, go, we go to. Everything you say, come, we come. Makabrata liada siata. The things you bind shall stay bound. The things you loose shall stay loosened. The gates you open shall stay open. And the ones you shut shall stay shut. Your ministering angels will hear your voice when you speak. Rebo kumalagada bayeto brasianda. Your words will be salted. Foolishness will not be abound in your words. When you bless, they shall be blessed. Oh, Father, we give you praise. Lord, we give you honor. Let's begin to say thank you to the Lord. Thank Him that your words will be relevant. Your voice will be recognized in heaven. Yahweh, Yahweh,
we lift you high. Yahweh, Yahweh.
because you are the covenant giving God, the beginning and the end, we declare in the name of Jesus that we are aligned today. Father, the strength for follow through give unto us. The grace, our Lord, for manifestation give unto us. In the name of Jesus, the speed, our Lord and our God, to recover and cover lost grounds, Father, give unto each and every one of us. Father, we declare that from this moment forth, our words will not fall to the ground. Our words will be powerful, Lord. We commit today, Lord, that our tongue will be used for blessings. Our tongue will be used for praising. Foolishness will not abound in our hearts. Ah, Father, that indeed your name will be glorified in our lives. Honor and glory we give unto you, Lord. Honor and glory we give unto the name of our God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Let's give a big hand unto the Lord. God bless you.